Hey, Wanderers. Ooh boy, where to start? I'm recording this message on April 1st, 2020. The whole world is really still just beginning to deal with this pandemic, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about it because I know that's not what you come to this podcast for, but I do want to give a little context. As you know, Elise and I live in New York City. We recorded this almost a month ago, and for various reasons, I didn't get around to editing it right away, and then as the world began to change, I'll be perfectly honest, I wasn't in the best headspace to deal with it. To be clear, both Elise and I feel physically fine. We chatted on the phone recently. We're both very grateful, and I decided it was time to get this out there. I had given Elise a list of episodes to rewatch so we could have a look back at the full series. The conversation went kind of long, so I'm going to divide it into two parts. Also, we discussed a vacation I had just been on, and obviously that was before we realized how serious this all was. As far as future episodes go, Elise and I are looking forward to continuing our journey and talking about the films, but we'd prefer to keep our recording sessions as they've been with the two of us in the same room. So until that's possible, or until we decide to try recording in a different fashion, we'll be on hold until life gets back to some kind of normal. So before we start, I just want to say thank you. Thank you to all of you for following us, listening to us, and caring about us. I truly hope you are all safe, well, and in contact with the people you love. May these episodes bring you even a moment of comfort, distraction, and laughter. All right, let's do this. Check, check, check.
Checking.
Now it's working. Hi, Elise Castle.
Hey, Mike Jensen.
Here we are.
Here we are. Mike is back.
I'm back.
From Hawaii.
I was in Hawaii.
Oh, Hawaii. Sorry.
No. Yeah, so there you go. I'm back in New York. It was a lovely vacation, though.
Yeah.
Always wanted to go to Hawaii.
And you did.
Yes. Highly recommend.
What did I do?
What did you do?
I watched Sex and the City.
You did. So this is sort of the format that this is going to take. This is in theory, I suppose, our series wrap-up. Yes, we are going to get to the movies, I promise, somewhat soon. But what I wanted to do was kind of have Elise go back and watch various episodes from throughout the series. I chose 13 episodes. It was very hard to whittle, especially season 4.
It's funny because I thought Mike was going to choose like 7. So I was like, yeah, just like... And I did actually have a very busy couple of weeks. You guys just don't care to hear about it, I'm sure. And so I was like, yeah, just let me know which ones you want me to rewatch. And he's like, okay, so season 1 is episodes blah, blah, blah. I was like, Mike, how many? It was 13.
It was 13. Okay. So it wasn't a ton. But it's really hard to whittle down like 94 episodes into like 13.
Yeah. Also, before we start, while we have been gone, Lynn Cohen passed away.
Yes, that did happen.
Magda.
You know, I mean, it is both sad and, like, she had such a great life.
She had.
In theater and in film and in television. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she did so much.
Yeah. And it was just, even to see the outpouring of, like, love and support from the Sex and the City cast on social media, you can just tell she was so loved.
Yeah.
So, I just wanted to, you know, if you didn't see that or happen to know that, Lynn Cohen did pass away, but we loved having her enrich our Sex and
yeah.
the City experience.
She seemed like a wonderful woman. I did not know her, obviously, but I do know people that worked with her and had only amazing things to say.
Yeah, and
her.
we know people that have like known her in like the service industry, and she was like one of their favorites, and yeah.
Yeah. So lovely, lovely, lovely woman who had seemingly a lovely life.
Yeah.
So, why don't we go ahead and just start? The first episode that I gave you to watch was the finale of the first season.
Mm-hmm.
I did the finale because we'd already covered the first episode more than once. So I thought, you know, the finale kind of encapsulates the first season. It seemed to me. You know, one thing that I had meant to bring up when we talked about the premiere the second time
mm-hmm.
was one of the biggest differences that I noticed, other than Carrie's apartment, obviously, is really Carrie's attitude. I feel like Carrie in the first season has kind of just more like joy in sexuality. Like it feels quickly as the series goes on, she becomes, we sort of make fun of it that she's the sex columnist that doesn't want to talk about sex. And that doesn't feel true in the first season, mm-hmm. that she is much like sort of giddier over her friend's sexual exploits. I don't know if you noticed that or not, but.
I mean, yes, I noticed the interesting thing about this, too, is I didn't get super emotional when I was, like, watching this for the podcast, but, and I don't know if it's just because of, like, life, but watching these episodes, I was getting more emotional, and I don't know if it's because I, like, quote-unquote, know these women now, or if I'm watching it with a less, critical eye, like trying to catch what everything is happening, and I'm just watching it. I mean, the first thing I obviously noticed was that Skipper was going to be in this episode.
Yeah, Skipper. Right?
That was in the credits, and that this was before I knew it was all ending for me. Yes, I did. I mean, I noticed this about all the characters, that everyone's a little bit different. Everyone seems, in these first season, I don't want to say, like, easygoing or subdued, but that's, like, kind of.
Which was sort of makes sense if you think that they're just younger.
Right, they're younger, and they don't really have, the stakes aren't as high for them. I also even noticed with Big, so when she runs into Big, he's actually giving her answers and being nice and making time for her. He's like, oh, well, I've got time, you know, 20 minutes before racquetball, but he's, like, saying exactly where he's going and what he's doing, and all this stuff.
You know, one note that I made about Big, and it's something that I, once again, probably could have mentioned in the past, and I feel like people have, I've seen people write this on, like, our Facebook and that kind of thing. I do see them. Is that Big really wasn't the bad guy in the beginning. And I guess that I don't mean to allude that he became the bad guy, but people have referenced, and it is true that in the beginning, he really was pretty clearly stating, this is what I want, this is what I can give, this is what I have to offer. And it just wasn't enough for Carrie.
Right, and that's kind of the thing that I noticed watching this. I was like, Carrie, he's making it so clear to you that this is what he wants, and yet you are like, but maybe I can change him.
Right, 100%.
And then I was like, Elise, take notes. It's like the other day I said to someone, you know, Bonnie Raitt says, I can't make you love me if you don't. I say that sounds like a fun challenge.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, not in no way to like belittle your personal experience, but I feel like that's such a thing for all
everyone.
Of us. Everyone.
Yeah, no.
We're all like, oh, no, I see what you want. I can make you want more.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's just like the human experience. Also, I love that Charlotte says, a man who cares about his mother makes a wonderful husband. Charlotte? Are we sure?
Yeah, let's watch. Careful what you wish for, darling.
Right, because that was funny to me.
Yeah, they make a reference to the 90s, which I don't know ever happens again.
Yeah, but our relationship's the religion of the 90s. Yeah. And it's funny you say that, because I couldn't remember us ever answering this question. I'm sure
we
did.
Well, I don't think that we did. We didn't do We Couldn't Help. We didn't always do these in the beginning.
Because one of our listeners was the one that suggested this.
Right. So I don't know that we always covered the question.
Oh, no, we always cover the question.
We did, but I don't remember covering this one.
Yeah, me neither. Did we just not do this episode?
I've never seen this episode before.
Yeah, is relationships the religion of the 90s? I don't know. I mean, that's kind of a stupid question. Maybe that's why we didn't answer it.
I think that we're just always, I think that people are always obsessed with relationships. I think even as me, I mean, you know, I'm like a pretty self-avowed like single person.
Right.
But of course I still have moments where I'm like, oh, like if I was in a relationship or maybe this person or like, I think that, I don't know if it's in our DNA. I probably even have said this on the podcast before. Like, I don't know which came first, the romantic comedy or our obsessive need to be in a relationship.
Right.
Like, I don't know what eggs the other one on, but there is something perhaps in our DNA that makes us want to attach, that makes us want to have an other.
Of course. And it's another thing I found so interesting about this, and Samantha in particular, you know, we joke about Samantha not being the one who's in love, but she says, I love you 3 times in the series.
Yeah.
And I think it's more than any other character.
That could be true. I wrote this, one of my notes that I wrote. I wrote, Samantha was in love.
Yeah, she was in love 3 times.
She was in love.
There's 3 different characters that she was in love with, and it's just the way she plays it. But I think that's more.
I would say there were 4.
That she says, I love you to?
I don't know if she says, I love you.
Right.
But, like, does she ever say, I love you to Smith?
Yeah.
Does she say the words, I love you?
I think at the end, right?
She says, I care more for you than any other man. I don't know that she ever says, I love you, though. But she. So
I think
if
she
you
does.
Count that, and if you count.
Richard.
And then there was the guy that she used to date that she gets back together with because she wants to break up with him first.
Oh,
Samantha's a love crazy person.
Yeah, she's a love addict. And Charlotte over there is like, you can't get married before me. And I'm just thinking, don't worry, Charlotte, you'll get married and divorced and married again before Samantha.
Once again, careful what you wish for,
yeah,
girl.
And have we talked about, I know I talked about the weird camera angle with that guy having sex with Miranda.
Yes.
It reminds me of the video for All Star by Smash Mouth, where he's like, and he's like, hey, no, you're an, is that the one I'm thinking of?
I think so.
Yeah.
I did also write in that scene that I think it's weird that he gets out of bed, goes to the bathroom, and then wraps a towel around his sweaty body to come back into the room to talk to her.
Yeah.
I guess he's just,
you just
feeling
like
exposed.
Had sex with her. Can't yeah. you see your wiener? But also, like, it's TV.
Yeah.
There's, and I wrote, there's the big we will come to know and love, air quotes. I have to do things on my time frame. However, talking about meeting his mother. Uh-huh. However, Big does want a little more closure than he normally does. He says, like, we'll talk later. Like, he's trying to, I mean, really, in this moment, he is telling Carrie exactly who he is. Right. And it's that quote, like, when people tell you who they are, believe them. But then we wouldn't have a series, would we? And this is one of the first moments where we see the Miranda and Carrie friendship to, like, really blossom with the I didn't leave, you didn't seem fine.
And, yeah, oh, I love that.
And this line, too, really got me this time. I can't get inside. And I just wrote, Carrie, you never will.
Uh-huh.
Because it's, you know, it's that thing of, like, how can I do this? And then, you know, it's like Skippertown
yeah.
at the limelight.
There is a really silly moment that I wanted to bring up, and it's when Charlotte goes to the tarot card reader.
Mm-hmm.
Only because there's major boom mic in that
scene. Oh, really?
Those
tarot cards are huge, too.
They're really large.
They're like those gag playing cards you can get. And it sounds crazy for me now, knowing that we have six more, or five, depending on how you look at it, seasons ahead for Carrie to ask Big to tell her she's the one. It's like, you wanted this in season one? I'm like, bitch, you don't even know. You've got a long road ahead. I love you, but I can't.
Yeah.
I didn't realize either. I was like, oh, she's early on with this I love you, but I can't. Do you have anything else for this?
Well, I just wrote there's lots of fake hair at the club.
Oh, yeah.
And
I mean, Gherkin, like, Gherkin happens, but I figured, like, we talked about that so much. I kind of wanted to use this more to talk about, like,
the things you noticed.
The things I noticed and the evaluation. The evolution of, like, the women themselves.
Yeah, and she writes every Sunday, I wrote, which is just an intro. I don't know why I hadn't thought of that before, but she says, like, I write every Sunday. And I'm like, do you? Okay, that's cool. Yeah, so that was the finale of the first season. The next episode that I gave you to watch was Le Dolor Exquise.
Yep. One thing I noticed in this one, because this was, I was trying to not, like, once again, just pay attention and do another episode about this, right? But I did think it was funny that Sam smacked the waiter with that whip and then is rubbing it on Charlotte's face. We didn't talk about that before.
That whole restaurant's ridiculous.
Yeah, the waiter should have taken those empty glasses off the table. Like,
there's
table
a lot about that. I even just wrote, like, in the opening shot, like, that crazy spread of just, like, food out on a table.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is that food even for?
Right. I mean, I'll have it if I can take a pass through that buffet line.
As long as, like, no one's, like, rubbed their ass on it already.
Probably has. So this is what I noticed, but then I realized it goes back to, she starts calling him Big and not Mr. Big. It just becomes, like, a thing.
Uh-huh.
But also, eventually, she does call him Mr. Big again. But I think this is when it's just like, okay, we're going to be referring to this man as Big. You know, we Stanford has that fun thing with the sex stuff, but we went over that before. And now, here's another thing. Like, Big might have to move to Paris, right? Full circle moment. Al moves to Paris. Carrie has a lot of experience.
Yeah, a lot of guys want to move to Paris.
Mm-hmm.
I also just wrote her line of, like, well, laugh, it's a joke, when she shows up at Big's door.
Yeah.
But it is weird that he takes it so seriously to begin with.
But I think, once again, I think he has this little bit of a guard up where he's like, I'm telling you who I am and what I want, and, like, he's probably afraid. Like, is this woman, like, not listening to me?
Yeah, here we are again. Maybe.
Spoiler, she's not.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I know you've talked about this, but I love this line, women think we, men think we is me and my dick. Because it's like, it's true.
Right.
You know? Yeah, it's true. Like, women can, like, take a text message and be like, this is what this means. And a dude's just like, I was bored and thought that was funny.
Right.
And Carrie can't believe it's happening again.
Yeah.
It will happen, Carrie. Again. And again. And again.
I also just wrote that he has the line of, like, don't get carried away, which I feel like we've talked about before, that it's a little on the nose.
Yeah, come on. You could do better than that. That's a big pun. We find when Miranda and Jack started walking by that building, I was like, oh no.
Yeah.
Oh no.
It's also funny, though, that when we go into that location, people walking by on the sidewalk are looking to see what's happening.
Mm.
And I'm sure it's just, like, lights, like, there are things happening. But I did notice that people are like, what's going on in there?
I wonder if that facade is finished now. When we walked by it, it's on 18th or 15th or 17th or 16th.
One of those.
One of those.
Good job.
It's on one of those streets, but we found it finally. And I realized it was like a place I'd passed by so many times.
Yeah.
So funny. Only time I've ever called, FaceTimed, texted, sent a carrier pigeon to Mike Jensen's house. Move to Paris for yourself. I wouldn't want you to uproot your life and expect anything. And I wrote, nope, but you will, because she eventually does this for Al.
Yeah.
You know, tied myself to a man who was terrified of being tied down. But will you learn? Did I ever love Big, or was I just addicted to the pain? And just like that, I had untied myself from Mr. Big. I was free. I just wrote, yeah, right.
Yeah, all over.
I mean, that's kind of like this whole episode. You just see once again, Big is showing you exactly who he is. Because even in that line right there, where he says, move to Paris for yourself. I wouldn't want you to uproot your life and expect anything. Like, that is telling her all she needs to
right.
know. That his intentions...
I need you to not expect anything of
right.
me. And if someone tells you they need you to not expect anything of them, they don't care about you that much.
Right.
Like, I think that you, Elise Castle, should expect something of me, Mike Jensen, because I'm your friend.
Right.
Like, if someone says, like, you can't expect anything from me, then, okay, well, bye.
Right.
Like, what are we doing here, then? Like,
right.
Any kind of relationship is built on a certain amount of expectation.
So, next episode was X and the City.
Yeah, it's the finale of the second season.
Steve, but it's X Steve. But it's still Steve. I forgot that, like, Steve has already come and gone for the first time.
Oh, yeah, that's funny.
One thing I noticed this time that I just thought was interesting is both in the previous episode we just talked about and this one, Miranda has a huge water bottle in her purse, like one of those 1 liter pull and spring things.
Oh, okay.
And it just seems like an interesting choice to carry around on set. It just seems pretty heavy. Okay, clown table moment.
Clown table, all right.
The clown table is in such a clear shot.
Is it?
Oh my gosh. When she calls Big and Natasha answers, like, you see the clown just sitting there. Like, you see it so many times. You just see clown table.
Okay.
And you just see it. And I'm like, that's it. So I'm going to this is the clearest shot of the clown table I have seen. So I'm definitely going to get a picture of it and post it on social media. It's funny. Someone wrote to us on Facebook. Shout out to you guys. It's a husband and wife who listened to our podcast who found our podcast because they Googled clown table.
Oh.
And they like it. So.
What an interesting thing to Google.
Well, probably they were the same thing as us. Yeah, they were watching Sex and the City and they're like, what's a clown table? And they're like, oh, these two people have talked about it for 4 weeks. Let's listen to them. But thank you guys for listening. Okay. Friends talk. This was my first moment of like, So Big and Carrie are at 11 Madison Park. LaShawn's is there.
Oh, LaShawn's.
Mike just wants more for LaShawn's, and I get
do.
It.
Yeah.
We all should have more for LaShawn's. And this moment where she's like, friends talk about the relationship, so tell me about the girl. No, don't tell me about the girl. Carrie, it's serious. We're engaged. And I get that because I understand that feeling of like having feelings for someone, wanting to be their friend, knowing that this is part of the friendship. So you're trying to be like, okay, I got to make this like work because I know right. that eventually I'll be at a place where this is okay.
Right.
I'm not there now.
But if I pretend,
I'll be there. And then it's like, but I don't want to make it a big deal because then that'll ruin the friendship and I'll never be able to be at that place. So let me get there. It's such a fine line, and it's nothing that's unique to Carrie, unique to me. We've all been there. You know, and it's just kind of the risk you take when you're like trying to be friends with someone that you at some point had feelings for. And I still love the moment where they're in the stable and Carrie's smoking and the horse like neighs at her and she's like, oh, what the fuck is his problem? I just love that.
Because you like it when people yell at animals and babies.
Babies, yeah.
I think that I didn't ever bring up the fact that I did once fact yell at a 2-year-old to control herself.
Oh yeah, you did.
It didn't work.
No. And Miranda and Steve, F, you know, we're still just friends. Yeah, friends who have sex. And then Carrie goes to the engagement party, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's I don't know that it's the first, but it's one of many scenes that will take place near the fountain by the plaza.
Mm-hmm.
We come to that location a few times in this series.
We have that whole The Way We Were conversation.
Which I still have never seen.
Okay, well, I saw The Way We Were, and it was I saw it after. No, I saw it before this. I think you told me to watch it before this so I could, like, understand everything. And, you know, it's that interesting moment where Carrie walks by, and this is, I hate that Carrie behaves this way, but I also kind of get it. And it's that idea, I think, where it's like, if I don't do this, I'm going to regret this for the rest of my life. But then you do it, and you still don't get the answer you want. And she says, this was the shock I needed to hear to move on. And you can see her wanting to hear him say something else, and he doesn't. And it's just like,
yeah,
like you can hear, like you just see it in her face that she's like, come on, please just say like, I'm the one. And he doesn't.
She's getting married.
Right. I know. But you know that, like, even though, and you know this because everyone in the world has been in some sort of unrequited love situation.
Sure.
You know that even though you know in your heart of hearts that like, this isn't the thing, there's still always that 1% like, maybe. Maybe, you know, and I think for Carrie at this point, it's a lot more than a 1%.
So first season, just for the, I mean, in my mind, I thought that Sarah Jessica Parker won a Golden Globe for the first season. She did not. She was nominated for the Golden Globe for the first season. She was also nominated for an Emmy. And the series itself was nominated for comedy series for its first season, though it didn't win any of those things. So season two was nominated for, I think, two different Emmys for writing, both for Evolution. And then for this last episode, for X in the City, was nominated for best writing in a comedy series. It got had a bunch of, you know, it got nominated for comedy series. Kim Cattrall was nominated. Sarah Jessica Parker was nominated. The costumes were nominated. It didn't
just the costumes.
Just the costume. Well, you know, nominated for outstanding costumes in a series.
Right, I know. I just like to think of like the dress, not the person who made it. Just the dress.
The dress got to walk the red carpet for Le Dolor Exquis, especially. They were nominated for that, but didn't win anything. But at the Golden Globes, it did. She did win for Best Actress,
and the winner is Sarah Jessica Parker.
You can imagine, well, I'm very unaccustomed to, I've never won anything in my life. It's great. I had money on all the nominees in my category because they're all so good and funny and beautiful and talented, and I can't believe it. I'm not a winner. It's just, the Hollywood Foreign Press has been so good to us and so welcoming. And I love my job so much. If you only knew how devoted and fond and affectionate I feel toward the people I work with, you would know how much this meant to me. I don't know what people do with these things. This is amazing. There are so many people. Oh, my gosh. There are so many people who encouraged me to do this. I was terrified of doing a television series. And my agent of 16 years, Kevin Uvain, said, you must, you should, you really must. And my oldest brother, Pippin, whose wisdom and guidance I have always looked to, and Darren Starr, who is so tenacious, and you simply don't say no to him. And this cast of beautiful, talented, funny women, and Chris knows Mr. Big, I'm ruined. And the crew, the camera, the grips, the gaffers, the electric, the sound, the caterers. Ina Tresiokas, my publicist, she made me do talk shows and photo shoots. She's eternally optimistic, and Gordon McGregor, he's so kind, and he makes sure I'm on time. Please wrap it up. My beloved husband, Matthew Broderick, and my 7 brothers and sisters, and my parents, who make great sacrifices, who I hope every day I make proud. Thank you. This is amazing. Thank you so much.
And it did win for Best Comedy Series. So that was season two. Anything more on season two?
No, that's, I mean, she misses James.
Oh, yeah.
But whatever.
The line that I tried to remember what his name had been when we did trivia and I got it wrong. So season three, I meant to tell you to watch episode 9, but I actually told you to watch episode 8, which is also a good one. The big time.
I was kind of wondering. I was like, I mean, I guess it's fine, but.
Yeah, it reintroduces Big into her life a bit. And then it does bring us to the end of Steve and Miranda's relationship the second time.
Yeah, I didn't realize either this, like how many times Steve and Miranda go back and forth. So here we go with Carrie and this dry cleaning bullshit already.
I know, yeah, it's pretty silly.
It's funny to see Trey it's funny to see Trey so into Charlotte, because this is like the beginning of their relationship. Everything but girl. This is the episode where Samantha meets Len Schneider.
Yes.
He has a Ben Franklin hairdo. And I just don't know if we missed that. Did we talk about it? So here's the thing. I don't hate Aiden this time around. I mean, I hate the turquoise and the denim on denim and those like weird pink sunglasses.
Uh-huh.
But I don't hate him. And it's also funny to me that Steve wants a baby so bad. And I'm like thinking of conspiracy fan fiction. Like, did he plan that baby? Did he poke holes in the condom that we don't ever see them put on?
Right.
And then I just wrote me. So I don't know why. Maybe I think it was about is timing everything? With the, like, about that chance encounter. Because I had that experience where so much of my life, I focused around the fact that I had had this chance encounter with someone that, like, in my brain seemed, like, so serendipitous. So I was like, well, this is it. And, you know, and it kind of, like, if that would have never happened, I don't think so many other things would have happened. And it didn't pan out the way I thought it was going to. So I don't necessarily know if that's, I don't know. I also like in here where, you know, Miranda's talking about her and Steve, and she's saying, maybe I'm sabotaging the relationship so I don't have to have a baby with him. Yes. Yes, you are. You know, and it's so interesting, too, to watch these women who inherently know themselves, but yet are always second-guessing themselves, like us. And that, for me, was that moment where I was like, all of these women know themselves. Like, Charlotte knows what she wants from the beginning. Carrie knows what she wants. Even Samantha knows what she wants. And Miranda's like, oh my gosh, I'm ruining this thing with Steve because I'm just scared. And it's like, but we're going to second guess ourselves.
Yeah, I don't know with the Miranda Steve thing though, because maybe this is just timing, but I don't think this would have, I think that when she ends up having the baby, she's in such a different place than here. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. But I do think, and maybe it's because I know how it ends.
Right.
So maybe it's a little different. Also, this is when Aiden has to go get coffee filters.
Oh, yeah. Goes to the Korean deli and never comes
Big
back.
And Big comes. Yeah, we still don't know where he went. But Big is there. And go home to your wife. And he just says, like, I'm so fucked up. And, like, this is really the first moment that we see Big for who he is. Like, a human who also doesn't know what he wants.
Right.
And in this moment, too, it's like, Carrie, okay, he's showing you once again exactly who he is. Yes. Yeah, so don't ask, don't tell. Once again, I just wrote, do I like Aiden now?
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
It came around to Aiden on the second time.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's because I just, like, I see Big and I'm like, he makes it so clear who he is. Why are we obsessed with him?
Right.
But that's women. And I'm still confused about this wedding timeline forever.
No, it's pretty ridiculous.
I mean, Charlotte and Trey's wedding, by the
right.
way. And I always will love, could you please not use the F word in Vera Wang? Is honesty really the best policy?
Yes.
Yeah, it is. It is. And it's hard.
Yeah. It's a tough one because I understand the argument of, like, if you cheat on someone and you tell them, you're just making yourself feel better. But also, I don't know. Can you go an entire lifetime? I don't know. I don't.
Because who knows? I mean, you're not just making yourself feel better. You're also, like, letting them know. And, like, who that gives them the opportunity to decide. I don't know.
Don't cheat, y'all.
Yeah, Mike doesn't like that. you know, and it's this interesting idea that I've been trying to use lately called direct communication, where it's, like, as opposed to trying to manipulate the answer I want from someone or trying to, like, get it without having to say anything. I'm just saying it. And it's hard. It's, like, the hardest thing ever. But it also is so funny how much easier it is. You know, I had a friend, like, trying to get out. He had, like, overbooked himself on a date. And he was trying to get out of, like, one of the aspects of it. And I was like, well, why don't you just say, let's just do one part of this? And he was like, wait, I don't have to do all of it? And I was like, no. You don't, like, but I think we always try to, this story's stupid, cut it out. But I'm just saying, like, when we are honest about what we want, it's just hard to be honest about what we want because we're constantly worried about what other people think and how they're going to react. Aiden, I need to tell you something. This moment really hit me this time too, where she says, but I was afraid if I told him, he'd never look at me the same. Mm-hmm. And that's that thing where it's like we become so comfortable and like accustomed to the way our relationships are with people that if we are honest with them sometimes about our feelings, we're just so fearful that things are going to change. So we live just in this limbo of never completely knowing. So then, you know, also, like, I love you. She says that. That's nice. I forgot about the bagel stuff. I couldn't really watch it when she was cutting the bagel.
Yeah. It is funny. I had to go back and rewatch because I was certain that she did not have a bandage on her finger at the wedding. But she does. It's on her, I want to say, her pointer finger on her.
No, she does because yeah. Charlotte says, like, don't get blood on my wedding dress.
Oh, yeah. I guess I didn't hear that line for some reason.
So, also, I think this time around, I'm really seeing, like, the humanity in all of the characters and how good their performances are. I love, so after Carrie tells Aiden, there's this moment where you just see her put herself together and go up to Charlotte and realize, like, this isn't about me.
Right.
It's, like, actually the most selfless thing Carrie Bradshaw does, I think, in this whole series. Because she pulls herself together and she just says, you look perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, so season three, this is the season that they won the Emmy Award for Best Comedy Series. A lot of other nominations, you know, Kim and Sarah.
Francis, on first name basis.
Yeah, you know, directing, writing, you know, they got a lot of nominations. But at the Golden Globes, once again, Sarah Jessica Parker and the series both won for a second season in a row.
And the winner is Sarah Jessica Parker.
I'm ill-prepared again. It's just like high school. I am the most content employee ever. I love working for HBO. I am proud to work for you and with you and Mr. Bukas and Mr. Albrecht and Ms. Strauss, the greatest champions ever. Kevin Uvain sitting to my left. You all know who he is by this point. He's mentioned once or twice every award show. He's my agent of 18 years. Michael Patrick King, who has been like a heartbeat for me, and Darren Star for asking me to be part of a show that I am so proud to be part of, the crew in New York, our cameraman who will be gone next season, I will miss you terribly. The Grips, Super Dave Babcock, who never tells anybody that I get into the car in the morning 7 minutes late, and he always gets me through the Midtown Tunnel, and I'm never late. And the beautiful ladies who I have the great good fortune to work with, and my husband, who has the courage to let me work with the likes of Chris Noth and John Slattery and John Corbett, and he even encouraged me to take this job. I can't quite believe it. And to Bette Midler, who I've admired for years, and Deborah Messing, who has the grace of a goddess, and Calista Flockhart, who always does such beautiful work. And Jesus, please wrap it up. No, there's another nominee, Jane Kaczmarek, who has been one of the great actresses of all time. I am honored to be included among you, and the Hollywood Foreign Press for being so good to us. Thank you. Thank you.
And that's the first half of our recap. Something I should have said at the beginning, if somehow this was the first episode you've listened to, first of all, hopefully you've already watched the first three seasons and we didn't spoil anything. If it wasn't made clear, we're actually over 100 episodes into our Sex and the City journey. Make sure you change your settings to play in sequential order so you can start from the beginning. You can visit us at wecouldn'thelpbutwonder.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Instagram, all at wecouldn'thelpbutwonder with no caps, no spaces, and no punctuation, and Twitter at WCHBWpodcast. If you haven't already checked out our Instagram, do so now. We're going to be posting moments from the show that we talk about, starting with this recap and eventually going back to highlight past moments from the show. You can follow Elise at Evie Castle and me at MikeJensen77. We would love it if you would share this podcast with someone. Put a link on Facebook or tell a friend. Take a moment and rate us on Apple Podcasts, or even better, write a review there. We'll be back next week, or maybe sooner, with the second half of our recap.
You guys, Mike just said he's my friend. Miranda has a huge... Ew, I made like a weird spitty sound. So Big and Carrie...
Maybe it was your first moment of what? I like that. No caller ID is calling me. Should I answer?
Sure. You're very tan.
I am very tan. I got burned like my first 30 minutes in Hawaii.
Did you wear sunblock?
Not in the car on the ride to the house.
Oh, that's how it happened? Oh, okay. I didn't know that part.
Elise shamed me.
I didn't shame you. I just didn't realize like what you were doing.